Now, the next thing we need to examine in this Psalm 1 passage here, looking at it from a top-down view, why is the man who does not follow this pathway, this scriptural pathway to happiness we're talking about, why doesn't he have this special type of happiness? Well, that's pretty well explained here too by the psalmist. Notice here that he says that they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Meaning that there's not really any real substance to their happiness. There's no root, there's no foundation. That's why they're always chasing after it, and that's why it's always momentary. It's a very temporal thing here. Even if you look at it in the long term, okay, it's bringing them a worldly type of happiness here. You got to admit the ungodly and the sinners and the scornful, they actually are prospering quite well in this life. And many of them are finding a temporal kind of happiness, right? Well, but in the long run, what is temporal is temporal. What's eternal is eternal. It's going to come to a point where God no longer has any use for the ungodly and the sinner and the scornful. And that's all going to just be blown away. Driven away like the wind blows the chaff away. It's got no weight. It has no substance. It has no use to God in the eternal sense. The other thing he mentions here is they shall not stand in the judgment. Okay, think of standing. You're standing on your two feet here. Have you ever been your feet swept out from under you? Right? You thought you stood on solid ground. You thought you knew what you were doing, and just zoom. You're no longer even standing upright. You know, your face first. Planted your face right into the pavement there. That's how it's going to feel. Maybe not here, maybe not right now. I mean, occasionally we see these sinners or these scoffers, you know, have to eat their words or turn back from their sins, you know, their addictions and their drunkenness and their lasciviousness and promiscuity and everything. You know, it seems like with some people it catches up with them, and it seems like with other people it never really catches up with them. But that's all in a temporal scale here. That's as much as we can see from our vantage point here on earth. The way God's looking at it in the eternal view here is okay. For some reason, for some purpose, he's allowed in this temporal life to continue. Possibly to grow our discernment of it, right? The upright's discernment of this. Okay, but it's come to a point where at the judgment, at the final judgment, here they are thinking that they stand, you know, on the rock. Here they think they're standing on, you know, morality. They were essentially good people. They didn't murder. They didn't commit adultery. They didn't do, you know, some of the things we would be meditating on in the law. But they think they haven't done any of this, and they think they're standing, that God has no reason or right to not allow them, not to accept them into the kingdom of heaven. And next thing you know, they're at the judgment, their feet are just swept out from them. They don't have a leg to stand on. You know, with a single word, a single judgment, they're no longer standing. It also says here, nor sinners standing in the congregation, standing's implied here, nor sinners standing in the congregation of the righteous. You can imagine, you know, God has his book of life, and you're standing there like you would be, you know, after final exam there at college and everything, and you're at the billboard there looking to see if your name's on the list. You're looking to see your name on the list, and your name's not there. You're not in that list of the saints or the upright that are going to be in the congregation of the righteous. What a shock that would be. Right? So in the temporal state, you might be happy, but in the long run, in the eternal state, there's no reason to be happy, because the things you thought made you happy have only led you astray from God, led you into direct rebellion with God, things that God is most right to judge you upon. You had your chance. He says at the end of this, the psalmist says, the way of the ungodly shall perish. Just as I was saying, there's going to be an end to the usefulness of this. God didn't make people to sin. God didn't make them, you know, anything but what they are. They chose this. This is the pit that they've dug. This is the judgment that they've given themselves to. This is the judgment that they've ignored and gone about things what was right in their own eyes for all this time. It's serving God's purpose, apparently, because he allows it still to happen. But at some point, we all know that way, that purpose is going to be no longer needed. That way is going to perish. So we ask, why isn't this the man who doesn't do this, that the psalmist is suggesting, this pathway to scriptural happiness, why he wouldn't ever participate in this kind of scriptural happiness? Well, it's because he's not going to be there to participate in it. Simple as that. He traded the happiness of eternity for the happiness of chasing women around and, you know, greedily ripping other people off and, you know. He had his weekends out on his boat and his jet ski and all that. He traded all of the eternal pleasure, all the eternal happiness for some drunkenness in the sun.